back to the Love Your Bod Pod. I'm your host, Kara Corinne Cefelli, and I'm a certified holistic health coach, and I help men and women heal their relationships with food and make peace with their body and break free from binge eating so they can live fully self-expressed, awesome lives. Today on the podcast, we are interviewing Katie Pasternak, and she is a women's leadership coach who helps leaders embody new levels of evolution so they can create lives that turn their soul on. Through intuitive development, quantum physics, hypnotherapy, neuroscience, and esoteric foundations, she offers women an integrated experience that will allow their highest selves to truly land in their bodies to manifest their visions with grace and flow, not force and rigidity. With one foot in soul and one foot in swagger, Katie provides strategy and support to stretch women out of their comfort zone so they can earn more, love deeper, and experience magic on the reg. Through her private mentorship, masterclass programs, iTunes podcast, and YouTube channel, Katie is inspiring women to take messy and sexy action every day so they can amp up their growth while having fun doing it. The podcast with Katie, the interview is a little lengthy, so there's not much of an intro today. I just want to say that I adore Katie. I love Katie. She's incredibly inspiring. And this podcast might be a little bit different than what you're used to hearing on the Love Your Bod Pod. So I'm totally stoked, and let's dive in. Welcome back to the Love Your Bod Pod. I'm your host, Kara Corinne Cefelli. And today we have a badass guest with us. Her name is Katie Pasternak. Katie, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, love. I'm excited.
So kind of paint the picture for those listening. Where are you? Tell us a little bit about yourself and how was your holiday? Because we're recording this just after Christmas.
Paint the picture. It's funny because we were just talking about how cozed up I am. I am in like all fur everything. Super cozy in Manhattan right now, just kind of nesting after the holiday season, which was really beautiful. But I don't know about you. I'm really feeling the new year energy already. I kind of feel like it is the new year, so I'm kind of ready to go, ready to get into that space. So that's how I am right now.
Yeah, I really, I kind of feel like I make quote new year's resolutions or like revisit my goals year round, but I really love the idea of like kind of like a blank slate or like this new opportunity to create.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I don't like the resolution model. I'm always just like, oh, what's the intent? Yeah. Freshly intentions. Yes.
Okay. So let's just dive into the questions and let's get going. So one of my favorite quotes is that you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backward. So you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. You have to trust in something, your gut, destiny, life, karma, whatever. This approach has never let me down, and it has made all of the difference in my life. And that's by Steve Jobs. So can you connect the dots for us? What led you to where you are now doing the incredible work you're doing to help women?
Well, obviously there's so many dots throughout our entire life, right? Like from the blueprint that we came in here with and the traumas we experience as young adults. But the dot that, you know, stands out to me when you ask that question is really the meditation dot and the turmoil dot that brought me to that point of really needing to find out who I was underneath my body. And that's why I'm so excited to talk to you about the work that you do in the world, because I feel a lot of women come into just deeper understanding of who they are, spiritual awakening through their body journey. And we can connect the dots looking back. And I look back now and I'm like, that was everything. That's what brought me into this space to knowing like, who am I outside of my body? So that dot of learning meditation and getting outside of the negative thoughts that I had around my body was a very powerful dot. And those dots led me to other personal development and growth and healing and all of those things. And it all unfolded to me learning a new dimension of myself. It's like, okay, now I'm not associated with my body. Who am I in my mind? Okay, who am I in my soul? What work am I here to do? Okay, this is my creative expression. This is sexuality. This is money. This is all these different things. And it all unfolded to becoming who I am now, which is more of a multidimensional person and leader. And it's all unfolding beautifully, but it's those seeds. I love that question so much because it's like, you would have never thought if I were to go back to that time of being like, oh, I'm just healing my relationship with my body. I would have never thought what it would have opened up to.
Yeah. So can you tell us a little bit about your history with like food and body image?
Yeah. So I started out really young, forming the emotional relationship with food. I actually did a hypnosis regression where I like was like 2 years old, and my mom, I was like tugging at her, but she wasn't paying attention to me. And I like looked at food in that moment, and I started like associating food with love and mom. And it was like, I just remembered it so vividly in that state. And I was like, wow, this was like deep. And my mom struggled with emotional eating and binge eating and losing weight and gaining weight and all the things. So I really took up that pattern so, so young. Mm-hmm. So my childhood was kind of filled with that need and attachment for food for emotional reasons. And so then I naturally started to gain weight. I was referred to as the fat one, the chubby one. I was teased a lot in elementary school, in middle school, in high school. And it got to a point in high school where I was overweight, and it was actually coming up on our prom. And I knew that no guy was going to ask me out, because like no guy is going to ask out the fat girl. And I had that moment, like this is another dot. That was a dot that was like, okay, I have to change. Like I have to change. And it was because of men, truthfully. It wasn't about friendship. It wasn't about what my mom or my dad thought about me. It's because I thought that I wasn't going to be loved romantically unless I lost weight. So that's when I started my weight loss journey. And it began kind of organically. And I was like, let me get a Planet Fitness gym membership. Let me cut out some chips. Let me like do that kind of, you know, generic type of weight loss. And I lost a lot of weight. At the time, I was obese. I was definitely really, really big. But I lost a lot of weight. I went into college. I was feeling really good, still thicker, but feeling really good. And my health journey just kind of continued. And I felt like, quote unquote, normal with food. It was like, okay, I feel actually okay. There were, of course, some moments where I felt good. When it got bad was I was in a relationship, and it was my first relationship with a guy that I felt like actually saw me and loved me. And I was like, oh my God, like someone loves me. This is crazy. So I naturally became like codependent and like addicted to that relationship. He ended up cheating on me within like the first 6 months of our relationship with like someone who was like a very small girl with like huge boobs. And I was so insecure. It just like, it rocked my world because I like fell in love and I was like, oh my God. And so of course I made it all about my weight because that's what I've been programmed to do my entire life. It's like, once I lose weight, people love me. Once I lose weight, I get attention. So that moment trickled into a really deep spiral of anorexia, exercise bulimia, just being so obsessed. I was just working out for hours a day, eating nothing. It got really bad with the anorexia journey. And everyone started to tell me like, hey, you don't look good. This isn't healthy. And from that point, I was like, all right, well, I need to look better. I need to look not sick. So let me get into bodybuilding. And so that's when I like formed that association with like, once again, it was all the way that I looked and like what people thought about me, but I was like, now I can kind of control it in a healthier way. So I started changing the way that I was working out, lifting weights, being more controlled with my food. So it was very disordered still. And that was just years of me, you know, training really intensely, killing my body, personal training, bodybuilding, all that. And then at the end of that, it was like, okay, my life has been destroyed by this. And I just knew at that time, because I was so out of control with my moods and depression and anxiety, and I felt crazy. I like literally lost so many things in my life, from my relationship to my job. I was just so obsessed with fitness. I was like, I can't do this anymore. And at that point, that like breaking point, that rock bottom, is when binge eating got terrible. It was like all the emotions that I was unwilling to feel for years and all the deprivation was like full force. It was so intense. And that was like a 6 month spiral of just the most intense binge eating, like of all time. I look back now and I'm like, holy shit. It was like really, really bad. But you know, I believe that that's part of the healing journey. And you have to go through that time to like give your body things back. And so, you know, from that period, it was years after that of like easing the relationship with the eating disorder. Not like, oh, I did 3 months or 6 months and I healed. Like, fuck no. Like, I'm sorry for swearing.
You can swear.
Like, yeah. Okay. It was, anyone knows that it's been 20, it's like, it's a thing. It's still a thing in my experience that I have to just love and be like, okay, it's a thought that just is there. It's like, okay. And every month, every year is another layer healed. But mm-hmm. it's deep. The wound is so, so deep.
Yeah. So I heard so many things, like trying to prove worth or trying to be worthy was so much of our pursuit, like of trying to control our body so that we could control our lives. And if we controlled our body, then we could control people's love for us. Mm, and it sounds like you got to this point where you realized that that pursuit was taking almost everything else from your life.
Yes. Literally everything. Yes.
So you felt like you hit a rock bottom, and it wasn't until you got to that rock bottom that you were like, wow, I have no other way to go but towards working on getting better.
Yeah. Because I tried to, and I think we all come to that point, you try to like not control, but control. Even with intuitive eating, I was like, okay, I'm just going to be an intuitive eater, but I was still controlling everything. And I did come to that point where I was like, oh, it's not the thing that I'm doing, it's me. Mm. And I'm the one that needs to change. Like, I'm the one that needs to go in. And you know, in the beginning, it can feel like you don't even know what you're getting into. Like with meditation or mindfulness, I was like, what? Like my thoughts aren't me. Like this is, it's just a huge, huge thing that you get to begin unpacking. But yeah, it had to come to that moment where I was like, there's nothing else to do. Cause I tried all the things. Nothing else is working. This has to be the thing.
Yeah. So how did you find like meditation, or how did you start to like discover, like, would you call it like self-help work or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I used to literally, because I was like binging so much, I would have these like rituals where after like the worst binge of the week, I would go to Barnes and Noble and like literally find any book to fix me like on the weekend and just like spend the entire day there. Like it was ridiculous. I can't even tell you the amount of books that I read. But there was something about that day where I was like in probably the self-help section or even like health and wellness. And I saw a book on Buddhist philosophy and mindfulness. And I still to this day don't know why I grabbed it, but I grabbed it. And I read this book that really didn't have anything to do with self-help. It was like religious, but it was about mindfulness. And it was like a soul thing. It just like was divine planned. It just was there. It was something I could read that made me understand the importance of this work. So it was just a shout out from the universe. Be like, hey, here.
Read this. Read me.
Yeah. Read it now.
So I've heard you talk about on your podcast or maybe on your Instagram stories, and you alluded to it a little bit here, but it was through the body image work that you basically opened yourself up to spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can you just tell us a little bit about that and why, like reflectively, like why do you think it worked out that way? And do you think that that's how it is for a lot of women?
Yes. And what I've seen time and time again is some of the most powerful leaders, and not always spiritual leaders, but just personal development, business, like leaders in this space have struggled with that as women. And it's beautiful in that way because it's the most intense and painful thing that we can go through, I believe, as women, as a challenge. And when we go through it, it's like the strength that you have to build and the belief in yourself and who you are outside of your body. Like that strength is what allows us to create everything in our life. So it is a blessing, although it can feel like a curse in the beginning of it. And when I started with the mindfulness, I was really just doing it because I wanted to monitor behavior. Because mm-hmm. with binge eating, you're like, okay, I'm out of control. I need to be mindful. So let me meditate so I can learn mindfulness and slow myself down. But when I started to meditate, the more and more that I opened up in that practice, I started to receive guidance. And it wasn't like crystal clear by any means. It was like flashes of things where I was like, what am I tapping into right now? Mm. And then when I started to embrace more of the visualization practice and affirmations to help me with food, I wasn't even being like, oh, I create my reality, or like, it wasn't about that. I was like, someone help me stop binge eating so I can lose weight, please. Like, please just help me. Yeah. So I started to do all those things and realize like, I just was organically shifting so much in the way that I showed up to life. And I started questioning more about like, why did I do this? Like what, all those things just naturally happen, which I think in spiritual practice they do when you just bring more light into your body, which is what meditation is. So it's like you bring more light in and your life just starts to naturally unfold and you start to awaken. And I just gained so much interest and passion through that. It was like something I couldn't, it was like the book I couldn't put down. So that's what led to everything. But it was needing to separate myself from my behavior and also needing to find out who I was outside of my body. Because that's like what I identified with. I was just like, well, I'm just like the fit girl and I do all those things. And no, it was like, wait, who is Katie?
So almost like, who is Katie outside of society's expectations of her and her body?
Yes. Mm. Yes.
I think that that's really potent. I'm like reflecting on it in the moment of realizing that we identify as women with our body so much. Like, it is so much of our identity, and we give ourselves permission to live or take away permission to live based on how we think our body is holding up compared to society's expectations. Mm-hmm. Through meditation, you actually started to realize that, like, yes, your body is a part of you to an extent, but you are not really defined by it.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, unfortunately, the programming is so deep to that association with our body. And even now, it's so present. And there is truth in it that we are judged based on our bodies, that men are likely to choose a woman who weighs less. Like, this is truth. So I think when I first came into this experience, I was kind of like, none of this is true, but some of it's true. Yeah. Like, some of it's actually truth in the society that we're living in. So yeah, we have to face off with, like, am I willing to not be as superficially loved by as many people by prioritizing loving myself and honoring my body and really being like, what's going to become more important, me or what other people think of me? And that's a spiritual conversation to have. Mm-hmm. And that's when your life gets in order that way. Because you look at the priorities that you've had and the people in your life that you start to choose. So when it comes to, like, getting to know who you are, you have to prioritize you to find out.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're going to be like, no, I'm not going to meditate. I'm going to go to the gym. No, I'm not going to, because it's in where your actions are showing where your priorities are. But when we set the priority to get to know ourselves, and we do meditation, and we surround ourselves with new people, and we prioritize just being with ourselves and all of the negative emotion that's been there, all of it, and just seeing it and holding it, we become the alchemizer of it, and the lightness starts to come in. And then we realize who we are is who we have always been, but now we have light coming through us. And so it's a new version of us, but it is always us. We were just acting out of shadow patterns, but it's really just about bringing the light in and being like, who are you in the expression of the divine? And then a new personality is born.
Mm. You had said that knowing yourself, getting to know yourself, is a powerful way to alleviate the pressure of people's judgments.
Yes.
And I think that, like, when you really get to know yourself on that deep, intimate level, and you actually start to develop this appreciation and understanding for yourself, and you start to cultivate that self-love and that self-care, you care less about what other people think, because you know that, like, what you got in here is good. Yes. And it's one of the best ways to arm yourself against all kinds of judgment is to just, like, get right with yourself.
Yes, 100%. It's all about getting to know yourself. And then when you experience judgment from others, you realize that's a reflection of their internal reality. And it's like people, and that's so true. I mean, the most vain people are the most insecure people. And you just see it more and more. And the more your intuition gets heightened, you could just feel it from them. And then it's no longer about, like, oh my God, I'm being attacked by them. It's like, oh my God, I'm so sorry for them.
Yeah. You can almost in some ways, like, have compassion for them. Like, yes, you can have compassion towards them as they're judging you.
Yes.
Because you can see, like, wow, that's a bummer, because you're right. It's a reflection of their reality, of how they view reality. And if they're judging someone's worth based on appearance, then you sure as hell know that they're judging their worth based on their appearance too.
Yes.
And if you know the pain of feeling that judgment, then you know they're in that pain too.
Yes.
And you can just be like, yeah, I feel like, and when you have compassion for them, it just softens the whole experience, you know?
Yes, 100%.
So you talk openly about the body image wound, that most women deal with this, that it's collectively something that is woven into the fabric of society, because I feel like it's a way to suppress women and keep them distracted and keep them fighting against themselves instead of rising up into balance. But why do you think it's so common?
Yeah, I agree with what you just said. I believe deeply that this was implanted centuries ago, because men always knew the power of women, and they wanted to control women. And it was implanted a long time ago, and it's just continued to be played out through our ancestors and through time. And it's been ingrained in our programming. And so now I believe that we're the ones that are doing the dirty work by reprogramming our own internal experience so we can change this moving forward. And right now, I think we have to just accept that it's not going to feel like we complete it, because we're not going to experience a completed project. Our children and our grandchildren and their children will. But we're doing the work where we're literally shifting like our DNA to no longer hold this. But I do believe it's a form of control, and not just for women. I mean, most of it started with women, but it's moved into men too. It's just another thing to distract ourselves and to keep us out of our intuitive knowing. I mean, if you look at the diet industry in general, it's promoting the idea that you need someone outside of you to know what's best for you. It keeps everyone looking outside of themselves instead of asking their intuition and their internal guidance, what does my body need? What's right for me? We have literally all of the answers, but it's just another thing that's keeping us distracted. Yeah.
Yeah. And like spending money.
Yes.
And like searching outside of us.
So much money. Yes. Like so much money I've spent on all the diets. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like you said, it's easy to turn intuitive eating into a diet, like the hunger fullness diet. And you can judge your performance based on how well you're, you know, eating intuitively. But when we are able to remove the diet mentality and transition into intuitive eating, I think it has a ripple effect. And intuitive eating kind of becomes our gateway into intuitive living. Mm. And you had just said that the diet industry literally teaches you to look outside of yourself and look for an external authority. So you want to like turn back inward and reconnect to your biological instincts and your body. And I actually think that that, again, has a ripple effect into all other areas of your life. When you stop looking for permission on how to live or what you're allowed to do, and you start looking outside of yourself on like what's the right college to go to, or what's the right career path, or what's the right way to seek love, all of these things. So there's such a profound ripple effect that by searching outside of yourself on how to eat is a reflection of you searching outside of yourself on how to live.
Yeah, it's so connected. And something I want to just offer for women that this might relate to, my food wound is deep, like very, very deep. And what ended up happening in my experience is that the intuitive eating thing wasn't available for me until I did the intuitive living thing.
Because so it worked opposite for you.
Oh, opposite. There was so much charge around food and body. It was like, I didn't share this earlier, but I actually struggled with them. I don't know if you have heard of night eating syndrome, where you like wake up unconsciously and like binge eat in the middle of your sleep, but like not know that you're awake when you're doing it. I struggled with that at a time after bodybuilding, and it was like the most shameful experience of my entire life. I went through a time when I actually like locked myself in my room at night because I was afraid of like waking up and eating. I was just like terrified of myself. So it had such charge that intuitive eating was literally not available for me. I tried it so many times, it was not available. But the more that I leaned into spiritual growth and intuitive living, the food thing naturally started to shift. And it wasn't the way that I thought it was going to shift, because I thought it was going to be all about my body. And for some people, it is. Some people, it's like, I'm full and I don't need to eat anymore. Or my body is craving this, and yes, all this. Mine has actually been a more spiritual, intuitive process, to where something, for example, I don't ever feel the desire to eat any kind of like quote unquote junk food during the day. I feel really healthy during the day. But one of my things has always been, I love having like a snack at night, whether it's like popcorn or like Cheez-Its. I just like having a snack at night. And the more that I like flowed with intuitive living, I like legit got guidance to be like, you must allow this snack. And my body is not hungry for it. But the guidance is like, you must allow this. And that was intuition. And it felt so good to honor myself in that process, to be like, okay, because now I'm like intuitively following my own body food healing journey instead of being like, how hungry am I? What does it say? It's once again, not your soul is taking you through a healing experience through the lens of your body. So it looks different for everyone. And I just wanted to say that because I know how many times I used to listen to podcasts where they used to talk about intuitive eating and be like, you don't get it. It's so hard, when I was in the depths of it. And for anyone that is in the depths of it, just know that your internal guidance system is still providing you healing. And for right now, it might be you need to binge. It like literally might be. We don't know, but you have to listen to your soul in this journey.
Yeah. And you're absolutely right. Like, it's intuitive eating is not an easy thing, because too many of us come at it with like the mind thing as opposed to it being a body thing.
Yes.
And when you've spent years not listening to your body, it's really freaking hard. And I never had intuitive eating through healing. I never heard of intuitive eating until I was in school, and it was like a required reading book in my
coaching
certification. So I had never heard of intuitive eating while I was going through recovery.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I feel like I was bombarded with just like being an intuitive eater. I actually like that. I kind of wish that would have happened for me. Mm. Yeah.
Beautiful. One of the things that stood out for me with what you had said, how for you it wasn't like intuitive eating was the gateway to intuitive living, it was backwards. But it sounds like you had mentioned when you were younger, you had associated food with love. Mm-hmm. Receiving love, giving love. And so it sounds like once you actually started to fill yourself up, fill up your cup with all of that internal love, that it eased up on the food.
Thank you for connecting those dots, because that's exactly what it is. That's exactly it. The charge releases, and also the need to emotionally numb out releases when we're doing the work on ourselves. We're like, oh, this is more or less just a habit and a comfort thing. It's not like, oh my God, I need this to cope with life, which at one point it was. So yes.
Same. Mine was massive. Like, yes, it was a coping mechanism. Like, I wanted to try to cope with the pressures of society to be thin and pretty, but it was also a coping mechanism from life. I was like, I just want to check out. I can't deal with how much I hate myself. So I'm just going to like binge on food and not presence myself to it.
Totally. And that goes back to like what we were saying with the controlling women thing, and really thinking about this from like, not just like, okay, well, who's controlling us? You know, we really have to think about the energetics of just darker energies in this space, because they can literally hijack our experience of life. Like, think about the energy of that charge of you need to look a certain way, you're not good enough, and all of that. It's literally just an energy thing that some people are channeling because we unconsciously allow it because of unworthiness, right? We just channel that, and it takes up our entire experience of life. And we can look back now, I'm sure you can too, to those times when you were in an eating disorder and you're like, what took over me? It was literally like a dark energy force just took over your experience and encapsulated your vessel, where you're just like, I can only see through this. Your life is taken over by it. And so if you're in that position right now and you're listening, I just invite you to ask, like, is the energy in my experience focused on love and of helping me become the best version of myself? If not, I'm asking you to leave. I'm asking you to leave my experience and my vessel. You are not welcome here. Because when we go through this experience, so many of us identify with the dark thoughts and the energies, and we make it all about us. We're just like, well, I'm doing this and this is wrong and this is why I created it. Some of that's true. And there's collective dark energy that's coming through everyone, and you get to choose what you allow in your experience.
So kind of like there's these dominant narratives. And you start to internalize them after you hear them over and over and over again. Because it's possible that there was a time and a place in the history of humans being on Earth where like body image wasn't a thing. Mm. And it's only, and like so many women struggle with it because it's like this inherited narrative. We've just like internalized it. But like you said, realizing that it's not, some of it might be you, yes, but to sort of disassociate with it.
Yeah.
And realize it's not actually you. It's like this thing that you let into your space, and you have the ability to be like, I'm no longer going to like let this be my, I don't know what the word is, like, but the boss
of story. Me. Yeah. Story. And like, yeah, the thing that I choose to live by and make all my decisions. Like, yeah. Yeah. Mm.
So what do you believe is the impact of this body image wound on a larger scale? What's the consequence? Like, what's the impact it's having on our world that so many women are preoccupied with body shame and food obsession?
Oh my God, everything. Like when you ask that, I feel like I just went into a whole dimension of seeing what it does. Like it literally blocks women from what they're here to do. It blocks them from their intuition, which is their superpower. It also keeps men in this cycle of seeking things outside of themselves and seeking things based on experience. So it prevents them from looking inward and connecting to intuition of like, am I actually soul connected to this woman? Or am I just looking at her for a physical frame? So it keeps all of us looking outside of ourselves, all of us, which is keeping us in slavery to the matrix that most people are existing in. So on a big conversation, it's keeping us and preventing us from spiritual ascension. It's huge. It's huge.
I got the freaking chills.
It's real. It's real.
Yeah, it makes me think. I was recently rereading Dr. Anita Johnson's book, Eating in the Light of the Moon. Have you heard of that?
I love that book. Oh my God, I love that book so much.
Yeah, I love it too. I think I'm reading it for the second or third time. And she talks about the power of domination versus the power of dominion, and how what women really want is sovereignty. And that's like the power to like forge their own path and to live their own lives. Mm-hmm. And I think about how like this body image wound and the diet culture bullshit is all about the power of domination. It's all about control. And you're right. Like it's just, it takes so much away from us, this like external pursuit, you know?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Okay. So for women who are perhaps straddling the line, who are kind of thinking that they want to start working towards recovery, but they're so afraid because of their fear of gaining weight. And they're afraid that they can't accept their body, or they have objections to body acceptance. What could you offer women who are maybe just not fully like, I want to heal this?
Yeah. So I would really invite them to create their own healing blueprint. And I really want people to think like, this gets to go the way that you feel comfortable going. Like you get to create something that works for you. So I would almost love for people to have more fun with this healing journey and to really be like, okay, I don't have to do it the way that anyone else tells me I have to do it. I'm going to do what feels right for me. So if I'm not comfortable just completely surrendering and trusting my body, I'm not going to do that. And if I don't feel comfortable letting go of the gym and like telling myself that I might gain 30 pounds, I'm not going to do that. But what I am going to do is this, and then really drop in, maybe meditate or just journal and just ask what would feel really good to move into. So with my example, right? So it's like, okay, I didn't feel good just being like, I'm just going to trust my body and just eat when I'm hungry. I was like, I'm going to have these three healthy meals that I know that I love and they're going to feel really good. And then I'm going to have that snack that I love at night. And that feels really good. And I'm going to go to the gym, boom, and it's going to be here. Boom, cool. And it was actually something that I felt excited about. And I was like, cool. And it let me trust the guidance that I was getting to create my own plan. And through listening to that more and more of like, what feels good now? What feels good now? It just opens up more doors to intuition. So I know people have heard so many different things and what to do, but like from like real talk, that's what worked for me. It was never like just completely surrender and say like, fuck it, gain all the weight that you want. You know, some of those thoughts helped, but looking at plus size models helped in the beginning of my journey for sure, to see that other women were being adored for being a bigger size, like doing like body image work in the mirror and like looking at my body, celebrating my body, all of that worked. But like real talk, it was divine, like creating a plan for me that felt good.
Mm-hmm. So to just honor your own path to healing.
Yeah.
And to find what works best for you and feels good for you, and to really be okay with the fact that it's not necessarily going to look like someone else's journey. And also maybe that there is no right or wrong way to work towards healing.
Yes. And it's going to take time. And that's the most annoying thing to hear because none of us want to hear that. But I'll remind everyone, time is a linear mindset that's not actually real. You get to be whoever you want to be in every present moment, you know? So it's like, yeah, it's going to take quote unquote time to go through this, but really it's about you addressing yourself in every moment to say, am I loving myself fully? Am I trusting my intuition fully? And as often as you do that, it's going to create that ripple effect in your experience. And that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's moment to moment, way more than it is like any block of chunk of time.
Totally.
All right. So one last question for you, Katie. What advice would you have for your 20-year-old self?
I would say to meditate. That's like the simplest thing, because it would have just, my journey would have happened earlier. Whatever, everything happened in divine planning, but I would say meditate, because that's been just the key to everything. There's so many pieces of wisdom that I could relay, but really it's the practice that's delivered all of the wisdom. So I would say meditate, Katie. Sit your ass down.
Yeah. And so sometimes I think meditation can seem like this, like esoteric, another task to do. So for anyone who might be resistant to the idea of meditation, essentially you're just sitting down and being quiet with yourself. Would you say that there's no right or wrong way to meditate?
There's a million one ways to meditate, and it's a journey once again to opening things up. But for everyone that doesn't feel connected to their guidance, meditation is the way for you to become more connected. And I've been hearing this more recently from people that, you know, even when I speak to things about like receiving download, doing certain processes to connect, they're just like, I don't hear anything. I don't hear the guidance. I don't know. And it's because people are so anchored into their mind. So meditation is an act of surrender in that way that you're training yourself to let go of your mind in whatever way that comes. If it's you listening to a guided meditation or just being still with yourself, you're surrendering to the energetic field around you and the wisdom that that has to bring through. That's where your higher guidance is. And it's through that process that you become more available, that you open your channel more, that you receive things. So I think if you understand the reward for meditation, it will make you more likely to continue with it and understand that truly what we're moving into is a place of intuitive soul embodiment, like for real. Our entire planet is going to be moving there. And that journey is going to become more painful for people that aren't connected to that wisdom, because they're going to be chasing their ego. And we're moving out of that framework. We're moving out of that linear fixed mindset. So we have to stay connected to that guidance. And when you meditate and connect with that, your life unfolds the way your soul asked it to unfold. The way that you asked it to unfold before you came into this lifetime, before you were programmed. So this is about so much more than food and body image. It's about having the actual codes of what your life is meant to be, of who you're meant to be. So I think understanding of like what it could bring to you is more important than like what's the best way, because there's a million and one ways, but it's really your decision to do it and to just be with yourself where all of the magic is. And as someone who has been a doer my entire life, there is no greater work than being.
Yeah. I mean, I can speak to that even just on a personal level. I feel like that's been one of the most I don't know if challenging is the right word, but as a doer myself, learning to be, to not have to do, to feel okay. Cause doing is my comfort zone. Not doing is out of my comfort zone.
Totally. Yeah. And it is challenging. It is challenging. And it brings up all of our programs around why we need to do. And it's like literally forcing yourself to sit and to be. I mean, I tell this people all the time, like sit with yourself for 30 minutes, just doing nothing, just sitting there, no TV, no podcast, no nothing. Sit there. People go into anxiety attacks. They're like, what? And that is where the work is, because then you get to actually witness all of your triggers that are taking you into action. The triggers of lack, the triggers of scarcity, the triggers of not wanting to be with your emotional experience. That is what's running your life. And when you look at it that from that perspective, to be like, whoa, the only reason I'm taking action is because I'm in fear, I'm in distraction, I'm in resistance. No wonder why my life is filled with that. That's a frequency you're operating from. But when we take time to be and we allow the light to come in and alchemize out, although like it, you know, it's a process, then you realize like what's actually coming from intuition. You can hear more, you're clear. Then you know this is a love-fueled action. This is fear, but you get, learn to sit with yourself and your emotions. It's the most powerful work we can do.
Yeah. And it's in such opposition to how we're trained to be.
Yes.
In society. Yeah. It's like the opposite for sure.
We need to do everything we're not trained to do, or we have been trained to do. Like pretty much that's the key. It's like everything that you've been taught, throw it out, because it's the exact opposite of that.
Yes. Oh man. Okay. So that makes me sort of think about embodying the spirit of like a rebel, or of just being like, there's so much power in like, rebel kind of maybe has this air of negativity to it, of like maybe being aggressive, but sort of in my mind, it's just deciding to choose to like forge your own path, do things your own way.
Totally. And it's being curious, really. It's just like questioning things. And the more that we expose the matrix in our own world, where we're like, whoa, it's like you go one layer back, right? So I'm sure you can relate to this. It's like you do the body work and you're like, wait, I'm more than my body? Whoa. And then you move into like personal development. And then you're like, oh my God, these traumas have created my life? Whoa. And you move into entrepreneurship, and then all your focus is on your business. And you go back, you're like, wait, what? Whoa, I'm doing this. It's like you keep going back and back and back. And so the work is about always asking ourselves, why? Like, why am I doing this? Why am I focusing on this? Why am I prioritizing this? And just asking ourselves, because the questions always have an answer. And higher wisdom is trying to tell you that nothing matters. Like, none of this matters. It's just like crazy what we fixate on and what we make stories around that aren't serving us. Once again, it's through the being curious, being the rebel, taking it up. Like, what role are you here to play in this world that we're in right now?
I do actually have another question I would love for you to touch on. Can you talk about your ayahuasca experience and your opinions on that? Is that something you recommend for people?
Yeah. So ayahuasca is like that thing that it's like, oh my God, like love it and hate it. Beautiful plant medicine. So I've done ayahuasca. I've gone like 8 ceremonies now. And it was a deep soul pull for me. I just really I needed to experience cosmic reality, a reality that I wasn't being exposed to in meditation at the time. And I think that plant medicine can serve as a catalyst for opening up our channel a lot more. It can kind of really activate our gifts at a higher rate, which I think is needed right now for a lot of the light leaders that are helping our ascension. And I do not recommend plant medicine for people who have not been meditating for like at least a year, and for people who are deeply committed to their spiritual path. Because I have seen people do ayahuasca that come to it because they think it's the answer and like this thing is going to heal me, and they really end up destroying themselves through the process because they don't know how to navigate their emotions. They don't know what is reality and what is non-reality. They can't separate themselves from their thoughts. And ayahuasca is shadow medicine. So it will bring up all of your shadow experiences. And I've seen so many people not being able to deal with what comes up, not only in that container, but the after effect of it. So I think it's a beautiful medicine, but it needs to be taken totally seriously. It's not something that's like, so girls get away and do some ayahuasca. Like, it's not fun. If anyone's told you it's not fun at all. It's very heavy. It is shadow. And if you're not all the way committed to actual spiritual ascension, you don't need it. You can get to different cosmic states through breathwork, through certain meditations, through other practices. You do not need it. But for some people, it is in alignment with them. Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, it's intense.
Yeah. Yeah. I always tell people, like, it's not fun.
No,
like I, like when you said that, I like wanted to like major LOL because I'm like, it's not like it's fun. Okay.
No.
Not fun to drink ayahuasca.
No, none of it is fun. None of it is fun. You have like a little glimmer of light at the end where you're like, okay, I made it. Thank God.
Yeah.
But yeah. It's definitely, it's tough. It's tough. And so if you're not like a 100%, yes, this is for me. My soul is asking for me this and I'm ready to deal with the repercussions of this. Because you will be asked to surrender something in your life. And that is the thing that most people aren't willing to face in any spiritual growth journey, which a lot of people are going through now. It's like, okay, I'm trying to do everything that I used to do and be the same person that I used to be. And it doesn't feel right anymore. Guess what? It's never going to feel right anymore. The planet is shifting. You have to shift. You have to literally see your entire world get flipped upside down in order for you to spiritually ascend. And so some people are told, leave your job, stop worrying about money. You have to stop trying to lose weight. You have to do this. You have to leave your partner. What are, all these big decisions come up where it's like, whoa. And you're presented with that, like that moment of like, you have to choose this or you're not going to the next stage of spiritual growth. And ayahuasca intensifies that choice for a lot of people. And a lot of people aren't really willing to change. And that's what it's bringing about. So yeah, it's definitely for really committed people.
Mm. Did it at all play a role in your body image healing and relationship with food?
It's so interesting because I went, the first time I did it, that was like one that I was in that mindset of like, this is going to be the thing that heals me in that journey. And okay. That I was like, it's, and I've seen that for a lot of people. And it did trickle over to that. Everything has an after effect of that. But I actually went through in one of my first experiences with ayahuasca, I had like a rebirthing experience, which I genuinely felt there was a huge perspective shift on all things related to my body. And it was really just more of the spiritual evolution that naturally affected the body stuff. It wasn't anything related, except actually now that I'm thinking about it, in I think it was like my sixth ceremony, I had an entire, you know, they say that you either have like a visual journey or you have a body journey, whatever. I had a body journey with ayahuasca and it was just being in the most intense pain ever for like at least 4 hours, although you have no concept of time in ayahuasca. You're just like, it's never over. It was just pain, taking my whole body and just turmoil. And I was like, what the fuck? Like just asking the medicine, like, what the fuck is this? Like it was just not, and I wasn't getting visuals. There was no understanding. I was like, what the fuck? And then at the end of it, I got the message that this is all the pain that you were avoiding when you were eating. And it was like, oh, bitch, what? Like, it was so intense and so hard. But I realized in that moment, I was like, wow, what pain have I been numbing? Because I heard that before, and we can all hear that before, to be like, you're running away from your emotion. But it's like, when you actually are forced to experience that shit, you're like, this was under there? What? So that did have the connection. Yes.
All that stored pain and trauma in the body was like coming up for you. Oh. Transmute.
Yes. And just sit with in pain, but yes.
Yeah. And I do think that a lot of people are resistant to that philosophy of you're avoiding some type of pain where you're not dealing with some area of your life and you're fixating on the food as a way to avoid or numb. No. I do think we can be resistant to that, but totally. I think that's true for a lot of us.
Totally. And it doesn't mean that like we can't eat and heal, you know, at the same time. Like,
of course not.
No, but you know what? I think people have thought that too, where it's like, okay, they're telling me that I can't eat unless I'm all the way hungry. And like, that's not what this is about. It's about just like asking yourself, where is the drive coming from? And it's the same thing we were talking about with being earlier. It's like, all right, I'm going to go on social media. Well, why? Is it because I feel lonely right now? Is it because I want to check what my ex is doing? Like, what's the actual driver there? And it's the same thing with food. Am I wanting to eat because I want to feel comfort? Okay. You want to feel comfort? Are you cool with that decision? Are you going to judge yourself? Because if you're going to judge yourself, then we need to rework that judgment. Like, you need to be with yourself in those decisions to see, is this in alignment with love? Or am I just running away? I'm stressed. I'm bored. I don't even know why I'm bored. Okay, now I need to know why I'm bored. And then you start diving deeper into what is actually driving you.
Yeah. I think that that might actually be the one thing that might be parallel with healing journeys is actually realizing like what's underneath all of the behaviors. Like what are we searching for? Or what are we avoiding? What are we bolting from? What are we trying to feel? What are we trying to give ourselves through this external fixation and type of control? Because I do think that it's so much a reflection of our inner world, the food, the body.
Oh. It's how you do one thing is how you do everything. When like that insight clicked so many things for me. Cause even with the way that I like brush my teeth or the way that I do all that, I was like, whoa, it literally is everything. Or me just moving really quickly into taking action and like not really thinking about things. Like I do the same thing with the way that I eat. I'm just like, oh, they eat. it brought up so much. So now I'm like, once again, it all trickles. So now I'm like, when I brush my teeth, I'm like, very slow when I brush my teeth and like doing things slow, but it all is so related.
Yes. Oh man, I rushed through the brushing teeth thing. I totally was like, oh fuck, I do that.
I
do it. Like
my girlfriend is a dentist and she was like at my house and she was looking at my toothbrush like random. She like goes to my bathroom. She's like, you're brushing your teeth really hard because like the bristles. And I was like, well, how hard are you supposed to brush them? And she's like, actually you need to be very delicate. And I was like, oh, I'm like, rushing like a maniac. Yeah. So yeah.
My boyfriend all the time. He's like, Carrie, you're like, he says that to me too. Cause I go through toothbrushes like so quick. Cause I'm like, so I've been working on getting better because I know that it's not good for my enamel, but yeah, like it's been like a quick, intense, you know?
Yep. I'm sure so many women can relate to this right now. So I love this.
Yeah. Oh man. So share with us where people can find you. And can you talk to us a little bit about your Sexy Soul Masterclass, which by the way, one of my best friends is in and she's loving it.
Yes. Oh, thanks. So I'm on Instagram for the most part. I mean, I'm on all the things, but mostly Instagram. So that's at Katie Pasternak. And then I also have my podcast, which you mentioned earlier, which is Sexy Soul Radio. And the masterclass is kind of a accumulation of my journey into spiritual growth, loving my body, manifestation, all the things that I talk about just kind of compiled into a course for women to really go through the inner transformation. Because so many times with self-help, we're just kind of like, well, where do I start? Okay, here's that journaling prompt. Here's this guided meditation. All right, I learned something about subconscious. And we're trying to piece it together instead of just like going through a process of actually taking the time to dive into all these areas. And the body wound is a huge piece of this program and all those healing modalities and sexuality and, you know, reprogramming ourselves, doing these deeper meditations. It's all there for women to really just take themselves through their own healing journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. Based on everything that I've heard from people that have done it and people that are in it, it would be profoundly beneficial for all women, but especially those who are really wanting to embrace their spirituality and kind of learn more about these different ways of being.
Yes, 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 yes.
Mm. Thank you so much for being here, Katie. It was such a pleasure to chat with you.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful.
Yay. All right. So that's our show for today. I hope you guys got a lot out of that, having this conversation about mindfulness and meditation and really looking at healing in a different way, a different light. I really loved that Katie had some new perspectives to share and a new way of looking at things. I even learned a lot having this conversation. So I really hope that it was insightful for you and that it was beneficial. Again, if you did get a lot out of this and you liked it, please leave a ratings and review on iTunes. That is really the most helpful thing that you can do if you're loving this show. It's what keeps the podcast going. So yes, thank you for tuning in. I hope you got a lot out of it. And I would be so grateful if you'd share it with your friends and your family and on Instagram and leave a review. All right. See you guys next week.